We get into some real deep things sometimes. It depends on the spirit that I feel. And then sometimes we get into some real shallow things because we try to mix a little milk with the meat. I want to read just a little bit over in St. John 16. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now I want you to think about that now. I want to read some more here, but I want you to think about that. Jesus said, I don't want you to be offended. A preacher is always trying to say things to keep from offended. Whereas the Bible says, in many things we offend all. Blessed is he that is not offended in me, and that is not us speaking, but God speaking from within us. But a lot of times you're offended, and the Bible said we're rude in speech. Sometimes we're rude in our presentation of thought, but we're not rude in the knowledge of God. So we have to deal with the devil, and of course sometimes... You know, you're in your home and a man comes in drinking. A woman comes in the wrong way around your husband and you say, oh, would you please leave? And they say, nope, I don't think I will. I'll turn up the bottle again. And you find yourself getting a little bit rude. You have to really get a hold of yourself because you'll help them find the door if you don't really have God. And if you really got God, you'll still help them find the door, but you'll just do it in a different way. All right, so it said, I don't want to offend you, Jesus said. He was a man just like I'm a man. He was talking to them. He said, I don't want to offend you in the things I'm saying, knowing that people are just kind of on edge in the day that we're living in anyway. The Bible said the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges, so they're just kind of on the edge anyway. And you have to be real careful of every little thing that you say or that you do. All right, so he said, I don't want to offend you, but he says, now this is going to happen to you. They're going to kill you and think they do God a service. He said, they'll put you out of the synagogues. Now, it sounds like he was speaking of some religious people. He said, they'll put you out of the synagogues. You know, we're not expecting any murderers or bad people to come in here and put us out of the synagogue, which they might do, as we say. But it sounded like these was the religious people. These are the people that were supposed to be the light of the world. And these are the people that were supposed to be the ministry of that day, the priesthood and whatever. Jesus said, don't be surprised. You think they're just full of God and they've got God. And this thing that I preach, they call it strange. What strange doctrine is this? And all these kind of things. So they'll just put you out of the church. That's what I was speaking of today. They're all in the church. So he says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy, that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, or thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now this is speaking quite a bit. He says in, I'll read in quite a bit, it's chapter 18. It says here in the 36th verse, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. How there's some wonderful things right here that we could preach on all day long, but I'd like to comment a little bit, and then we'll try to let you go. Now, the deep, deep mysteries of God is my hunger and my thirst and my desire, because I live in that world and have for many years. And this morning, just commenting just a little bit up here in the office where the radio is, the audio, I began to get into the deep mysteries of God, and I stopped because I felt God wanted me to stop right there and not go any farther with it. And of course, when I stopped, it was about 3 minutes till time to come down here. But I stopped because unless I feel that's what He wants me to do, I try not to do that. We have so many little babies that we have to stay with the milk of the Word because they don't understand. And you say one little thing, and they'll just go off on a tangent. And they'll say, bless God, I don't believe that. I was tutored this way, and I come up in this church, and they'll just mess up a diaper, and you just have to continually have people change them. I mean, they're fine little fellas, like the vision I told you not too long ago where I had so many babies around here. When I first come here, I looked, and I had baby beds everywhere. I had babies kicking their feet. They were hollering, screaming, just begging for a little bottle. And I was trying to get some of the people to grow up enough around about that was a little older to help me give them bottles. You know, like a mother get a little girl to try to help feed the babies. So I try my best to stay with the Word. I talk to ministers, and you can talk to ministers, and I know some of you have. And even those ministers are little bitty babies. You have to change their diaper before you get through talking to them. And they're little bitty babies, but yet they are ministers. So far as they're concerned, they've been preaching for 10 years. And they go out and preach the things, you know, and yet they don't know what they're doing. And then you have other ministers that are not advanced in the Word of God, but they are true ministers, and they love the Lord. And they don't understand what you say, but they don't come back at you. They just say, "Would you tell us that again? We didn't quite get it. We didn't understand it. We don't want to come against the Word of God. And we just thought we'd just shelf and catalog the thing until we could understand." Father, great, wonderful men that have never yet come to the fullness of their calling or developed, that someday will be mighty men of God. But then, as I say, you have the other people and the other kind of ministers. That's nothing but just a problem. You have people that come to the house of God that don't give themselves to God. They don't enter into the gates with thanksgiving, nor the courts of God with praise. And because of that, the tables are filled with vomit. They just vomit out their shame. Raging waves that vomit out their shame. And the Bible said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. You know, that is, you're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're nothing but vomit. You're not right with God. You're not living right. You're not trying to do right. You're just vomit. I can't digest you, Jesus said. You've got all my tables filled with vomit. Because you can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the tables of God. You can't lean to your own understanding. A lot of times people say, well, Brother Pike, I don't eat at the tables of devils. I don't go out there to the bad things of the world. But see, just to be carnally minded is death. Just to be natural-minded, you can't receive the things of God. You become the enemy of God. Because God is a spirit. And you may not go out there and do the wretched things of the world. That is, the wretched things God has suffered to be out there, placed out there. To that extent, we say Jesus smitten of God, that God has done. You may not touch those evil things that He hath allowed to be out there. You know, so far as being a murderer or something bad like that, but just being natural-minded, being carnally minded, not being spiritually minded, you reproach God. You reproach the things of God. You come in, you vomit out your shame because your thoughts are not in subjection to God. And we are taught that we should go on to a full reward. On, the Bible said, go on to perfection. Go on to be perfect. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And folks, even what we have taught in the years that we've been here, let alone what we've taught other places or other ministers have taught concerning the things of God, it takes a lot of listening. It takes a lot of doing. It takes a lot of years. It takes a lot of time to go on to the perfection of God.
No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And God desires perfection. He desires that we have a full reward in that we should go on to where Paul said, I can present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. We say first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. We have to get into the revelation of God to get into those things to explain. It takes much preaching, much detail. But see, the church world today is still just little bitty babies, fussing with each other and feuding with each other about cutting their hair or how they dress or whatever. And let me tell you, all these things are important to God, folks. You should dress holy. Men should dress holy. Women should dress holy. You shouldn't chop your hair off and bob it up on your head some way, you know. You should let your hair be long enough to where it would be presentable to make you look like a woman. And a man needs to chop his off. He don't need to let his run down on his shoulder and everywhere. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. See, we need that so where we can differentiate and tell a woman from a man. It's just about, I've said this before, I've disputed with my wife riding down the road. I'd say, Betty, did you see that woman? She said, that wasn't a woman. I said, well, of course it was a woman. She said, no, it's not a woman, it's a man. I said, Betty, that's not a man. And around we'd go. And sure enough, sometimes she'd went out and I'd find out it was a man. He'd have his hair so long that I thought he was a woman. And you know, men are silly in the day we're living in anyway. They're just as feminine as they can be. You know, they're just as silly as they can be. If you put them out on the end of an axe handle and made them chop some cordwood, they'd just about die before they ever got the first rip. That's the way they are. They're just silly people, weaklings. That they're not really masculine. They're not a man. And the woman in our day, she's just boisterous, right up in your face, bold, protruding, you know, a suck on a cigar, or smoke a pipe, or a curse, or do any kind of thing. You know, and she'll just dress any kind of way, you know, and you try. I'm talking about, there are Pentecostal women that'll get right in your face. You say, lady, don't you know the Bible teaches that you are to be shamefaced and you're to shy away? And even back there, they put a veil on their face. I wouldn't even come up in the presence of a man like that. Over in Israel, they still were them, some of them. But this woman, bless God, I'm a preaching, bless God this, and you can approve her, and she'll come right up in your face and spit out her shame right there in your face. Which is sad. It's sickening before God. See, and this is a bad situation. This is the church world of today. Let's give him a hand. I said, this is the church world of today. I don't offer any apologies for that. That's the church world. The whole table is filled with vomit. And God said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He calls the whole generation, you know, a lukewarm generation. And he refers to them as a generation that's sinful and adulterous. An adulterous generation. It's supposed to be the educated age. It's supposed to be the polished age. It's supposed to be the dignitaries. It's supposed to be these people that are just so-so. And God calls them vomit. And he refers to them as dogs and as swines. And said, keep them out of my house. They fill my table with vomit. See, and then he turns to the wonderful, lovable people, which are his people. Precious, loving people. Saying, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And he tells us that here he wants to glorify us. He wants to perfect us. He wants to bring us into these wonderful things of God. He says, because we are his. And as I said the other night, there's not any of them going to be lost. There hasn't been any of them lost. You know, we preach so many times. People said, well, Brother Pike, these were such wonderful people. And one time they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had God and we were so close. And all of a sudden, Brother Pike, they're gone. The wonderful people of God. They're just out there sinning and won't live for God anymore. Them wasn't children of God. They're not out there sinning. God's children are not out there sinning. God's children can't sin. There's no way that God's children can sin. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. You know, I say this so often. It's not may not sin. They cannot sin because they are born of God. And the Bible also states that if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out there away from us that it might be made manifest to everybody that they were not of us. Somebody says, well, bless God, Brother Pike. I ain't going to believe that. I wasn't taught that. I didn't come up that way. For 20 years, I believed this, you know. Well, you believe what you want to. Get all excited about it. But I'm still telling you, you're wrong. You're all mixed up. And the Bible, it teaches that we should let God be true and every man be a liar, whether it's Brother Pike or Brother Roberts or Brother Swaggart or Brother you or Sister you or whoever it might be. For God's Word has said it. That's the way it is. I'm saved by faith in God's Word. And when God's Word says something, if I believe that and act on that, that's faith and I'll go to heaven. And if I don't believe that, I'll go to hell. No matter what my philosophy is, no matter what I think, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, I'll still die and go to hell. I'll be in those eternal flames that the Bible speaks of. So, it is an hour like there's never been in the history of the world. The judgments of God are falling and they're falling fast. Now, at the first of the service, I said something that I wouldn't have said for nothing. Down through the years, I dare not say things like that. Because God was working a work in Jimmy Swaggart's life. Working a work in Oral Roberts' life. Working a work in Jerry Falwell's life. In Billy Graham's life. And working a work in many of these ministers' lives. Like Rex Humbart and the different ones. See, and Pat Robinson and Jim Baker. God was working a work in their life. But I told you way back there. I said the men are not right with God and their end will be to the wrong thing. Because they are at that time reflectors that standing between, and I have to get into Revelation to bring it out. They're standing in between the world and God. And because of that, they're reflecting this thing to the world so that grace can remain in the world. And so that these people can be religious and have their 700 clubs and their PTL clubs and all these kind of things. But it's just a charismatic thing that we spoke of before it ever come. That it would come, it'd be charismatic, the Pope would put his blessings on it, and the Catholic Church would get into it, and all of these things would conglomerate and come together. And if you remember, just before God exposed all of them men that I'm speaking of to bring about the thing he did, if you remember, they all confederated and got into a group. And God saw the strength of it, and he hit it just like that, and he stopped it because it was swallowing up the world. Like one man, 260 million viewers. See, it was swallowing up the world. The income, $150 million a year. See, I'm saying one thing. God said, fear not, little flock. Little flock. All of them people are not God's people. All that great mass of people and multitude of people, that's not God's people. God said over here on the other side, my little flock. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Make an effort. Be real religious. Get out and do something, he said. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. He said, because many people are going to be trying and they're not going to be able to get in. That is, many people are going to religiously try and say, I believe. You know, and I'm with you. And God, I love you. And the Bible said in that day, they'll say, Lord, we did many mighty works in your name. And he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And they said, but Lord, you preached in our streets. Don't you remember? He said, I don't know you. I don't know you. Little flock, where are you, little flock? He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You know, the straight gate here indicates, as you would say, a straight jacket. It's a tight place. It's a narrow place. You don't go in there with all these things on you. In the Holy Land, they got what they call the needle's eye. When the camel starts through, sometimes they have to take all the laden off. See, ye that are burdened and heavy laden, Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. When you start through this eye, you go through there, and you begin to put off the things. And when you get there, there ain't nothing but you. He won't have nothing worldly. He don't want nothing but you. I say this so many times, that the love of the world is in you. The love of God isn't there. If you can sit down in your home and watch a television show on a television in your home, a natural thing of the world, a television show, you don't have God. There's no need of you lying against the truth and going around telling people that you've got God. You don't have God. And if you continue in your religious stride of coming to church and doing these things, you are a genuine hypocrite. Let's give him a hand. That's what you are. Pharisees, scribes, Jesus said, you're religious, but you're hypocrites. If you can sit down in your home and listen to rock and roll and good old Western music, as you say, and country Western, then you are a hypocrite if you continue on saying that you are a Christian. Let's give him another hand. And if you can read the dirty magazines and keep up with the sport page and be involved in every philosophy of the world and every society of the world and all of the cankered things of the world, if you've got the gullible desire of the world for money and prestige and position and all of these other things with your mind on yourself, you've got to jog and you've got to pump steel and you've got to do all these things to build up this old image that God hates, then there's something wrong with you. Let's give him another. All right. So then it's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. The Bible said a highway of holiness. This is the way of holiness. The Bible said no unclean thing shall enter thereat. And the whoremonger and the drunkard and people who are involved in the things of the world, they won't get through these gates. And the Bible said there is a way that's called holiness that the eyes of the vulture has never seen. And the wayfaring fool, he might stumble into a hole, he might stumble into a barroom, he might stumble into a theater, but out of all of his erring ways of stumbling, he will never stumble across this or run across it. God hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, the educated, and all of those polished theologians, all of those people, he hath hid it from them and hath made it a revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn and submit themselves to the way of God. This is an adulterous generation. Marry one time, marry two times, marry half a dozen times. Don't marry at all. Just get you a boyfriend and a girlfriend and go your way. It's the age of the adulterer that God said he would burn with fire and with brimstone. Do anything and still go to church. Do anything and still be religious. The charismatic move says, come on, we don't care. You know, as long as you got plenty of money, as long as you give us plenty of money, you can shout, you can holler, you can scream, you can do anything you want to. We believe in speaking in tongues. We'll do anything that you want to do. Just stay with us. But folks, them folks are going to die and go to hell. And let me tell you something, they'll walk right into the flames of hell speaking in tongues if they don't watch out. I think we ought to give them another one. That's the way the world is. God wants a clean, holy, upright person that's got their minds on Him, that meditates in His laws day and night, that casteth down imagination and every high thing, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, until you can say, as with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So the little flock, I'm talking about the ones that's going to make the translation. There are others that are believers. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes. The devils believe and they tremble when they think about this one God. But believing isn't enough. Just saying I believe isn't enough. Being a believer isn't enough, for the devils believe. See, but the Bible teaches that you have to have His Spirit. If the Holy Ghost is not in you, you're none of His. See, a little baby born into the world, somebody says, well, I don't care, Brother Pike. We've got a birth. That baby's been born into the world. He's dead. It's a stillbirth. Many people are in the church. They come in all right. They're born into this all right to the extent of becoming a believer. They come in, but they're stillbirth. They're dead. They don't have His Spirit. And the Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. Oh, but somebody says, Brother Pike, I shout, I dance, I scream, I holler, I speak in tongues. I ain't got no proof of life. The devil screams, hollers, and speaks in tongues. I said, the devil springs out and speaks in tongues. Did you know that? That don't prove a thing, not a thing in the world. But if it's the Holy Ghost, he might sing, he might shout, he might speak in tongues, he might work a miracle, he might do many things, he might preach a sermon. Because the Bible says, there's one spirit in many operations. You have life, you might go boating, you might go hunting, you might do many things as a natural person in the world. That one spirit, many operations. See, so it could be God, but just jumping and hollering don't mean nothing. The Holy Ghost might not say nothing. He might just sit there, you know, as you would say, and have you listen to the preacher. He might be speaking through the preacher and not through you. He might be speaking through you and not through the preacher. He's got many members, many operations. So then, when we say this, God wants you alive. He wants not a stillbirth, but he wants a living child. A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. But it's our reasonable service to give ourselves unto God wholly, completely, that is, and pure. As a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Living, walking, talking, doing something for somebody, swearing to our own hurt, preaching, testifying, giving our lives to God, helping the poor, the needy, pure and undefiled religion. Before God and the Father is this, that you visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Listen at me, folks. Don't you know that going to your job 5 days a week, 6 days a week, getting your salary, come home, having your nice little home and a nice little car and paying your bills and having a good name and having security and a little bit of money in the bank and all this. Don't you know that that ain't serving God? Are you listening to me? Don't you know that that don't have nothing to do with serving God? Not one thing? If you do that all of your life, so that every man on the corner, every woman on the corner, say that's the finest people we've got in the community. You haven't done anything for God. Not one thing for God. It's when you sacrifice in prayer. It's when you sacrifice in fasting. It's when you sacrifice of giving of your substance. I don't mean giving $2, $10, $15. Somebody said, but I gave $5,000. That's great. That's wonderful. I had a brother 2 or 3 days ago come give me $10,000 in the offering. Had a brother a long time back give me $10,000 in the offering. Another brother. See, that don't mean nothing. God ain't interested in that. Now, he'll bless the brethren for giving that kind of money. He'd bless them if they'd give a dollar. It depends on what they've got and the spirit that they gave it in. God will bless them. And the more that you give unto God, abundantly you sow, abundantly you reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But the thing is, that don't have anything to do with salvation. That don't have anything to do with God. I said this many times. If you give $10,000 to God and you got $40,000 left over, you're in trouble. Let's give him another hand. Oh, somebody said, bless God, I'll find me another church. I don't believe in that kind of religion. I know, because you've got the love of the world and you've got the love of the money that you've got, and you're contrary to God because you love mammon and you love the things of the world, and the love of the world is in you and the love of the Father isn't there. Glory to God. I feel like giving him another hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So then you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? The Bible says, I believe in faith in God. We're preaching the Word of God. And I believe in faith in God. And faith in God says this. He that gathered much had nothing left over. I said he didn't have nothing left over. Somebody says, nothing? Nothing. How many know what the word nothing means? He didn't have nothing left over. He's just living by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ever live by faith? Betty and I have had to live by faith. So then he had nothing left over, because those people that are hungry, the little children and the widows, the women, whatever, those people that are needy, they didn't have no lack. You know why they didn't have no lack? Because the man that could have had something left over fed them. Does that sound all right? It sounds all right to me, because he likes it that way. He wrote it that way. He said it that way. And I just love it. I just love it. Praise God. You know, if I could keep on, we'd be giving him another hand. I just love the Lord, don't you? I thank God. I praise God from my heart. The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that's a joyful noise unto the Lord. When we get all stirred up over his word, And we're applauding over His word. He just loved that. He just loved that. So then His word, what is faith in His word? When His word said nothing left over, Brother Pike. I said, well, praise God, Brother Taylor. He said nothing left over for you. I keep my little bit because I'm doing something. You know, I got an overhead and I got things I got to do. But you be sure, Brother Pike. He's Brother Taylor, nothing left over. All right, so nothing left over. You know, it's good for you, we say, but not good for me. But see, God was speaking to Brother Pike. He was speaking to Brother Taylor. He was speaking to you, brother and sister. Had nothing left over. He didn't have anything left over. He gave His life. He gave His mind. He loved God with all of His heart, all of His mind, all of His strength. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, I love God with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my strength. But now I have got a little nest egg. You know, I don't see what that has anything to do with it, he says. You know why? Because you've got it. Now, the man that hasn't got it, he feels like it has something to do with it. Because he hasn't got it anyway. Somebody that don't never work for a living, don't never pay their bills, don't never do nothing, don't never give to the church or whatever, and don't never try to take care of the family. They're not industrious in any way. They don't try to pay their bills. They don't try to keep a good name. They don't try to feed their little family. They ain't got nothing. They say, glory to God, preach it, Brother Pike, because that's the way I believe it. Nothing left over. But the man that's industrious, the man that's trying to work, the man that's trying to make a living, the man that's trying to do something, a lot of times he does have something left over. He does have something because he's trying to do what's right. But that also can be an extreme, and you can go the wrong way, and the devil can trip you up, and all of your religious life won't be worth nothing to you. Now, somebody would say, well, that means that you don't believe that a man could go to heaven. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. There's a 60-fold, there's a 30-fold, there's a 100-fold. But I'm speaking of going on to a full reward, to the full measure, of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, that was just plain, simple, down to earth, and didn't have nothing left over, and said, follow in my steps. And gave His all, gave His strength, gave His life. How can you lay back, and then say that I love Him with all of my strength, when you know the labor of that strength was what you got? That's the way you got it, from the labor of that strength. And that strength was what you got from God. How can you say that? How can you say I love Him with all of my mind, and your mind is on a career, and your mind is on your job, and your mind is on your business, and your mind is on your house, and your mind is on your neighbor? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I've got to have a house. Why not do like the early church? Sell it and give it to the church. That way you won't have to worry about it. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, I know this is the modern age, but we've got some people here that's done that. See, they're not too modern. They just do it the Bible way. So you say, well, now, do you want my house? I don't need it. I got more houses than I know what to do with right now. When you have to keep them up, you don't want that many. It'd be better you keep it. You know, you keep your car. You keep your house. You keep what you've got. You keep your money. Oh, somebody said, well, I'll have to give you about $10 million. Well, I'd be fine. But I don't take offerings, so it wouldn't do me any good. Now, another thing, if I had $10 million, I would have the responsibility to God to see that it was spent right. And if I didn't spend it right, then I'd stand in jeopardy in the day of God. I've got to make sure it's spent right, it's handled right, it's gone to the right place, because the Bible said it is required of a steward to be faithful. Whereas Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. I like that. Now, so what are you then saying? I'm saying that God is not interested in what you've got. He's interested in you. And when you give such and such, and then you hold back, He hasn't got you. He said, honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses burst out with new wine. You ought to have every dollar that you've got, every ounce of strength that you've got, every bit of the intelligence and ability and skill that you've got on the firing lines and the frontier of evangelism for God. You ought to be right there doing everything you possibly can. If you've got a decent personality, it ought to be committed to God. not to lounge around and eat and leech and find fault and manipulate and try to pull a deal over here and make an extra dollar and put an extra dollar in the bank. That's foolishness. You should have everything you've got dedicated to God and doing something for God one way or another. One way or another. I heard this expression, and this is the way I feel about it. I've said it many times. I want the intents of my heart to be pure before God. I want the reflex of my mind to be pure before God. I want every thought that passes through my mind to be godly and holy, whether it's day or night. I beg of God to let me dream the right kind of dreams so that I can be holy in His sight in every way. I want to be like that. As it has been said, if I had one hair in my head, which I don't have a whole lot of them up there, but if I did, if I knew it was contrary to God, I'd pull it out. I would. I wouldn't have it. Just once somebody said, Brother Pike, you're a fanatic. I know it. I know it. They say that a fanatic is someone that believes what he believes and believes everybody else ought to believe the same thing. I'm a fanatic. I believe the Word of God and I believe the whole world ought to believe it. So then, I love the Word of God. I love people. I'm not after what they got. I don't need it. God has made my cup run over. But I'm telling you, folks, we're getting close to the change. We're getting close to the judgment. We're getting close to the translation. And if you don't dig that thing out, that's going to canker on you. It's going to cry out against you as a witness. There's hungry babies. There's hungry wives. Mothers. There's widows. Orphans. People that need help. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I just can't give nothing because I pay my car payment, I pay my home payment, and I do this, and then we run down to the restaurant and the telephone. By the time we get around, brother, it just, you know, I understand. But get rid of the telephone, get rid of your car, get rid of your house. Oh, somebody said, well, I couldn't do that. Oh, sure, there's people that live in shacks. If that ain't good enough, you live in a cave like Elijah did. Won't have no overhead whatsoever. Sit down by the brook and let the ravens feed you. Somebody says, well, I think you're eccentric, Brother Pike. No. Paul said, I'm not beside myself. This is what the Bible teaches. This thing wasn't done in a corner. I'm just telling you that we as the church of today are running so far behind and we're so out of bounds and out of shape until it is just the mercy of God that you and I and the ones that's sitting here listening at me that I'm looking at can even call ourselves a Christian. You know, to even use the name Christianity is an insult to God with a lot of us the way that we're doing. And even at our very best of our efforts, God's evaluation says you're filthy rags. I can't use you. But he said, if you'll have faith in my word and do what my word says, I'll give you my righteousness. And that way it will excel the Pentecostal righteousness. And excel that of the Pharisees and the scribes and that of the Baptists and the Methodists and the UPC and the Church of God and all these other kind of assemblies and whatever. You'll have the righteousness of God. That will excel the righteousness of man. And said, lest your righteousness excels that of self-righteousness, self-disciplined, your self-indoctrination, your ideology, he said you won't be able to make it. Only by faith in God, which is the Word, can I purify your heart. To hear the Word and to do the Word, and the Word said he had nothing left of it. When you get through sometimes working down here with the fellas, we have to go all night long in the cold and in the rain and in the mud. You know, and when Sister Betty and I get through, we don't have no dollars left over. We don't have no, I start to say pennies left over. I know a little boy did get a hold of a penny jar she had down there the other day, and he emptied that out, I think. But anyway, we don't have nothing left over. And by morning, a lot of times you don't hardly have no strength left over. All night long some of these fellas go. They give of their substance. They give of their time. They don't have anything left over. While some of the others, it's convenient for them. They make sure that they have something left over in every capacity of life. So they keep it, and they stay at home and do whatever. But folks, there's going to be a difference in the day of judgment. Somebody would say, well, there's one thing about it, preacher. I'm going to be there just like you're going to be there. I agree with you to that. You're going to be there all right. But the thing is, being there, that's not all there is to it. You know, it's like being at court. There's a lot of people that's in the courtroom, but people are there for different purposes. Like a sheriff up here, I told him God was going to get him. Fine fellow, been sheriff for many years. Religious, everything so-so. Never get him. But the other day they got him. Some of them that boycotted against Brother Raymond back here, one of the main ones, they just indicted him and they indicted the sheriff. They got him. See, like the man we had here that was a commissioner, was he? I told some of them God was going to get him because he promised to do something for God in the church. He didn't do it. And they got him. Put him in prison. They got him. See, God will get you. He'll get you. Oh, somebody says, bless God, he'll get you, Brother Pye. But you don't have to worry about that. See, you're not to preach to me. I'm to preach to you. Let's give him another hand. You're to listen. The Bible said you come to listen. Be more quick to hear. So that's that little protruding woman I was speaking about right there. I'll tell you, bless God. Yes, and the first news you know, you'll have your neck in the noose. Because God don't like for you to tell his ministers that. He takes care of his ministers, and his ministers take care of you. The shepherd take care of the sheep. The sheep don't take care of the shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. He tells them what to do. They don't tell him what to do. All right. So this is where the women and men get in trouble. You know, the world today is a religious group. They say, bless God, preacher, I know the Bible just like you know it. I know you do to your own hurt. The Bible said, if you add to it, I'll add the plagues. If you take away from it, I'll take your part out of the book of life. And we got a generation of philosophers today that's from college and school and every other kind of thing. It's to denominational worship. And they add to the word and they take away from the word. And they say it says this and it says that. And when they get it all together, they're so sure that they're sure that they never bother to find out. And they just meddle and muddle up the water so the sheep can't drink. It's like a man came to me. He's sitting here now. This man is one of the finest men I have ever known in my life. And he is intelligent in the natural. He's been a securer of his family. He's made his way. And this man is a Bible scholar. But he come to me just the other day. Some things were said. And he confessed before me that he never understood that. He said, I've never known that. He said, I see something I've never known. And the thing made him to realize how deep and great and mighty the mind and voice of God is to the believer. See, so you need to watch out. You need to watch out. Oh, somebody says, I'm all right. I've been doing this for 20 years. I know, and after a while, they'll drop you into the hole and the worms will eat you. You ain't got that much further to go. Just keep on keeping on. They'll have you in a hole after a while. But I'm talking to them people that's not going into a hole. I'm talking about those people that's going to be on the other side of the bridge. Oh, I'll be over there with you. Well, if you're over there, I won't be there. I ain't planning to go. If that's the place you're going to, I ain't planning to be there. I'm headed for a different place. So if you're so sure you're going to be over there where I'm at, like a lady that looked at me one time, I was talking to her. I went up to this desk to talk to her about something, and we got into a religious subject, and she looked at me and said, well, we're all going to the same place. And I looked in the powder and the paint and the makeup and lipstick and all this other stuff, and I looked and I thought, are we? Then I thought, no, dear God, we're not going to the same place. We're not going to the same place. Somebody's having strong delusions, because that ain't what I understand. So I'm going to the place to where the saints of God are. Well, you say, well, I'm going to go there too. I'm a saint, Brother Pike. But you don't act like a saint. And you don't look like a saint. And you don't talk like a saint. So you couldn't be a saint. You know, if I met a horse and he didn't look like a horse, and he didn't act like a horse, and he didn't appear to be a horse, he wouldn't be a horse. You know, if he looked like an elephant and had a snout like an elephant, I just said, well, Brother Pike, you mixed up. That ain't no horse, that's an elephant. Is that right? A child is known by his doings. You snort and you go on and you're protruding and you go on with your Pentecostal act. And then you try to convince me that you are a Christian. There ain't no days like that, folks. There ain't no days. You run from one preacher to another preacher. and you listen to everything come along, and today he's got you up on cloud nine because he flattered you, and you're inspired, and you ain't got enough sense to know he's trying to get his hands in your pocketbook. And if you'll watch real close, he's done worked out a program. You'll never know it. It's slick as a button. You'll never know it, but he's done worked out a program, and he's going to ease you right on over. Glory to God. I think of something when I say that. I think of something. You know what? Something just struck my mind then. That happened to some folks not too long ago, and they just couldn't get around that preacher. There was no way they could get around that preacher. He was the man. But they caught on to his little conniving where he worked that thing around to get a hold of their money, and they broke fellowship right quick as far as following him. Well, money answers to all things. I made the statement a little earlier that these men, they've done great things. Men like Oral Roberts, he's got our letter to ask for all of it. We sent some of it to him. We sent all of it. He wanted everything we had back, past, future, whatever. But men like Oral Roberts have done great things. Billy Graham, they've done great things. But see, here's what we've got to remember, folks. We are moving on into a transformating of mind. And you cannot take a doctrine as to a ritualistic, as to some disciplinary way of life and set that thing down and build on it a church and have millions of people involved and just freeze up there. You can't do that. That's what happened to Moses and his followers. And yet it wasn't to Moses only in the sense they esteemed him to be so. Because Moses was a man of God. But the thing is, that's what's happening to preachers, and that's what's happening to churches. See, he said, let us go on. Go on. You are in the first grade today, and the second grade tomorrow, and the third grade the next day. And you are in elementary school, and then you are in grammar school, or that is, you're in a more of a diplomacy of life. You're going from the elementary side into the high school, let me say. You go into the high school, then you go on into college, and you go on to your diplomacy, because that's God's way of life, from the grammar. See, and this is where the church is getting mixed up and messed up. They're not going on. They're not going on. Now, like this morning, we've had a spirit of interference the whole time that we've been here. Even when I say these things, that spirit is still in here. It's coming from a woman, and it's coming from a man. It's coming from two people. Because they're self-made, they're self-willed. See, and they cross up the spirit like that. They're not synchronized, they're not in there, they're not submitted. See, and they cross up the spirit. But let me tell you, we are going on to a diplomacy. A diplomacy. And we have to keep moving. We can't just sit down in one place. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I am a little child today. I am a grown man tomorrow, as we would say. I am a son of God in the future. Or that is to say, this is the future. Now we are sons of God. Now we have advanced. Now we've come to a greater thing. To recognize our sonship. To wit the redemption of the body. To go on to bypass the grave. To become mighty people of God that shall rule with a rod of iron and break the nations as a man would break pottery. Going on into the advancement of God. Not some little colleague that gets together, you know, to where we can come to church in some little ecclesiastical group to try to excel in society and be great in our community and be a good fellow on the corner and be involved in everything that comes along. We are a separate, called out people to come out of the world, to touch not the unclean things, to get out of Egypt, to go to Canaan, to where God can set up his own government. To pray, God, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. So to bring his kingdom, this is what God is trying to do. We're not some ritualistic, Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Methodist, a non-denominational, a charismatic group that is set down somewhere to build a church or to build a foundation or a campground or to do something to where we can see how many people we can draw, or whether or not we can get on TV and radio and have publications and have a great income. We're not that kind of people. We are a called out people that love God, that's rejected by the world, despised by the world. And Jesus said, because they have hated me, they'll hate you. And the Bible said, if they're saying all manner of good things about you, then you're a false prophet, he said.
Said, for that's what they did to the false prophets.
Said, but when they say all manner of evil against you, falsely. It has to be falsely. For my name's sake. It has to be for his name's sake. He said, then be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Said, rejoice over that. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. So then we are a called out people. We are a godly people. And everybody that I'm looking at here, they're not godly. They're not called out. The call is to let whosoever will, but the chosen is of God. So, the call is to preach the gospel to every creature, but few there be that find it. It's a little flock. So you can't mix the world with religion. You can't mix religion with the world.
The Bible said, woe unto that man that calls light darkness and darkness light, or tries to mix these things together.
You can't do that. Your intellect is darkness. You're born with that darkness, the satanic darkness of your own reasoning and your own understanding. And the mind of Christ is light. Your new birth brings you the mind of Christ, light. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Be spiritual, Paul said. Be spiritual, not carnal, not natural. He said, be spiritual. We're to be spiritual. And he prayed, this we should do, pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. Do you have the spirit of revelation? Oh, somebody says, I'm a Christian. That don't mean that you've got the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. Do you have the spirit of revelation? Or do you have the spirit of carnality? Do you want somebody to see you, or do you want somebody to see Christ? Do you want to interfere, or do you want to blend in with the things of God? Are you trying to do your own thing, or are you trying to do something for God? What are you trying to project, you or him? You understand what I'm saying? Are you the kind of person that's a prick in the side in every way that God moves? You have to get in there and mess up things. Boisterous, protruding, can't be loving, can't be kind. You know, like today, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. A lot of things I'd like to say to you. I'd love to get into Revelation. But these few things in the way of exhortation, these great, mighty people that are gods that we're speaking of. Jesus said, I've called you gods. Today, I met somebody. And I had forgotten the man. It had been so long since I'd seen him. Big fellow. Nice guy. But he come up, and he's a big man, and when he opened his mouth, it's like a lion roaring, you know. And usually people greet me like that. I just go on by them, you know. I don't pay attention to them. I just go right by, and there's another brother standing close by, and the man roared at me and stuck out his hands, and I just looked at him. I said, yes. You know, new fella, get acquainted. I said, yep. I turned to the brother and shook hands and said, how you doing, brother? And I know it struck the man. It really tore him up. Because he changed his approach. He changed his speech. He mellowed down. And then I come to realize I know him. He'd been in my meeting in Tennessee. Big fella, but nice guy. And I said that to say this. God, you don't approach God roaring like a lion. You don't come to God with your haughty spirit. You don't come in God's face with your boisterous way. You come to God humble and meek. You come to God and God's people with shamefacedness and with sobriety. You come to God's people mellow and sweet and tender like a dove. Otherwise, you're a devil. You are a devil, and you show it from your very first moment that you approach God's people. They're tender, they're sweet, they're kind, they're submissive. And they're not Pentecostal. Somebody said Pentecostal. I say this so many times. Pentecost, I remind you again, it was nothing but a Jewish feast where God forgave the debts, meaning the year 50th. And in that Jesus was to come, and that was a type of his coming, of the forgiving of the indebtedness of mankind as to sins. He chose that day to fulfill the scripture. And it was on the day of Pentecost, when all of the Jews had come together for their Pentecostal feast, which they still do. You know, if they're Pentecostal, they're the Pentecostals. See, we are Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch because of Christ-like. We are Christians. We don't have Pentecostal ritualistics. We are Christians, and we have the Holy Ghost. And we're filled with the great, loving Holy Spirit. And we have His characteristics and His nature and His love and His sweetness and His tenderness and His gentleness. Oh, somebody says, with all of this preaching, you see, I'm the same. Bless God, I'm the same. Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. But one of these days, if you ever get born again, you won't be the same anymore. All things will pass away, and behold, all things are new. And the Word of God, you will just love it, and you'll melt down, and you'll just mellow out like the sunshine when it hits the snow. All right, you love Jesus? Jesus loves you, even though you don't treat Him right. And I don't treat Him right, though we try. We fail and we stumble and we stagger, but He still loves us. He still stretches out His loving, tender hand for the embrace of a heavenly Father to an earthly Son. All right, let's stand together. We're really heavenly, just in earthen vessels. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. I hope you have a good day today. Like the song we wrote, Have a Good Day. Or like the song we wrote, Life Can Be Beautiful If You'll Take Jesus With You. So I hope you have a good day, a wonderful time in the Lord. Wherever you go, whether it's to the cafe or... Or whether it's home, whether it's just off, as we brethren do sometimes, just to get together, fellowship. I hope you'll work with us to entertain our brother Zimmerman, sister Zimmerman, and the other precious people that have come here to be with us. These people that drive so far, and yet they don't desire entertainment. They come for God. But we're brothers. And they come here... And I hope that the entertainment of Bethlehem will be sweet to them and rich to them. For this is their home. They come here to hear the gospel. And also our brother Jesse and wife back here. The family that comes down, Sister Cook's family. The different ones. Not only that, but of course my Sammy and Cynthia, Wayne, and the different ones that comes down. This is their home church. They come up. In the church. Many of them that come up in the church, they moved off into the different states and the different places, and they tell the wonderful things of Jesus. And they come back during camp meeting, or they come back at a certain time to visit with us to enjoy the wonderful ways of God and the wonderful fellowship. So around the world it goes. God has blessed us, and more the light of this ministry is going into all the world. We get a lot of letters. I want to keep it clean, folks. It's a sad thought to think that a man that had reached the heights of Jimmy Swaggart failed so hard. I looked at the paper. He had his face turned up, the tears flowing. The cameras caught the tears flowing. And... I looked, and here was a face of a woman over here next to it. And I looked at her face, and I looked at him. And I thought, God, how easy. The devil can take a nothing and a nobody. Take a scrambled up mess and make it look like a diamond in the sunlight. And I looked, and I thought, this man, for this face... traded $150 million a year, plus fame and popularity and prestige, plus opportunity to feed the poor and have the fellowship of 360 million viewers, and then traded his soul as to selling his birthright for less than a morsel of bread. When he already had companionship, I thought how foolish
When you analyze it, how crazy, how unreasonable. No one in their right mind would have traded far less for that. But you see, the devil does that. He's cunning. He's crafty. He makes the things of the world sparkle like the dewdrops of the morning. But when you get there, you find it's the web of the spider. And the farther you go into it, the more he weaves the web until you can't get out of it. Whereas I still say this, some has asked my opinion. I said, I don't. They say, how do you feel? I'm not critical. I love mercy and forgiveness. That should be to all men. But I don't think that you can say something is a mistake when a fellow rides down to the house of a prostitute. To me, somebody says, well, he just stumbled. To me, it is a mistake, but that ain't stumbling. If somebody took advantage of you, if he'd fell into something or stepped into a trap, it would be different. But when you premeditate murder, you kill somebody, you didn't just get tripped up. You ride across a city like Baton Rouge. I've been down there preaching those areas. You got plenty of time to think before you get to the house over the way. Plenty of time. Had plenty of time before. And of course, things can become a practice as to evil. So to me, sin is sin. It has to be punished. Be tender, be kind, be forgiven. But it's, well, you have to, Brother Pike. Because, you know, another Christian can wind up in the same condition. No, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I don't see that. There ain't going to be no Christians that wind up in that kind of condition. Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, don't you remember David of old? Well, yes, I know all about him. I've read his life story many times. Read the Old Testament through and through numbers of times. That didn't have nothing to do with it. David didn't. He wasn't even acquainted with the Holy Ghost so far as receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even given in his day. He couldn't even call himself a Christian. Because to be Christian was Christ like Christ had never even come. David was just a man that was raised up back there. You know about religion from Abraham and from Moses and the law. Somebody said a difference? A world of difference. A world of difference. Two different worlds. So let's don't make wrong comparisons. He that is born of God cannot sin. He's born of God. It's true you might get tripped up. You might fall into a trap because we're human beings. You know, you might start out that door, whereas this is concrete. I have seen people start out doors. It was wooden floors that they had to walk over to the door. Plank up, step through it, trip. I saw Brother Taylor do that right here in the balcony before we got everything fixed up there. Remember falling through that hole, Brother Taylor? See, I didn't mean Brother Taylor was a bad man. Thing is, when you practice and premeditate things, folks, don't use an excuse for a hobby horse. God isn't going to accept that. There's a world of difference. Grace and the blood atonement is for people who make mistakes. But people who do wrong, premeditate, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation that shall devour God's adversaries. For having come to the knowledge of the truth and knowing these things and then falling away, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Oh, somebody said, well, I don't believe it like that. Well, I don't care what you believe. You know, that's you and your philosophy. I'm a preacher. I'm talking about the Word of God and things that saves people's souls. You just take your little book of philosophy and go on down the road with it. I'm talking about God's Word, what He said, the day of judgment. Your little book of philosophy will burn with you. All right, let's sing a song together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? I have anchored my soul
in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
I appreciate you being here. I want to say that again. And our brother here, I can't remember his name. He came to talk with me yesterday. Who's he visiting with? He come down to visit with somebody. Joe. Joe, we met Joe. Joe, where did you come from? Nashville, Tennessee, you're speaking of. I'm glad to have him here with us. We talked with him a little bit yesterday, and talked like he might be going to stay around a little while. I certainly hope he does. Can we sing another chorus? May the Lord bless you.
Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing I love him?
I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. The altars are open. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first did. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown, the new Jerusalem. Can you sing it with me? We'll wear a crown. mighty cloud. For when this battle's over, I'm gonna wear a crown in gold. Jerusalem,
can you sing it again?
We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. Oh, battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Let's give the Lord another hand. Can you say praise the Lord? While we're standing here, the altars are open. If you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. I think it would be a good thing while we sing if everybody would just come down to the altar this morning and have a rededication. I think that would be good after the things that we felt in the service. All right?
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in faultless white, and I'm ready for the bride.
Can you sing it with me?
Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Let's be ready for the bridegroom to come. Let's be ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus.
One more time.
Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, we're ready now for Jesus. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus.
Can you sing it one time? Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, we're ready for the bride. We're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come.
Let's lift our hands up and love the Lord, can we? Father, we praise you for your wonderful blessings this morning, filling the yoke broken. Lord, as they gather around the altar, feel the holy, wonderful spirit of your darling presence, sweet Jesus. Lord, may the glory of God settle down upon us. May every heart be filled. May every sick body be healed, Father. Every sin be gone. Oh Lord, you said that whosoever sins we remit would be remitted. We remit the sins of these people in the lovely name of Jesus Christ according to their faith in God. Lord, in the wonderful word of your wisdom. For you said it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us. The judgment would begin at the house of God.
So, Father, we remit their sins. They're our children by the grace of God and the blood of our Savior that was shed at Calvary. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we speak healing to these people by way of faith, O God. Lord, may they be healed this morning. May the love of God be with them and their families to protect them through the day, to bring us back tonight, Father, coming together for the wonderful blessings of Jesus. Let's sing this chorus and we're going to dismiss you. Well, I looked over the Jordan and what did I see? Come to carry me home was a band of things coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Can you sing it again? Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Let's lift our hands again, close our eyes, and ask Brother Hollis to come and dismiss us. While Brother Hollis is coming to pray, I say this so many times, we're glad to have you here. You're very dear to us, very precious. We try to tell you the truth because we love you. And of course, the messages goes out to different people around the world. And we try to be honest and straight about it so that we can help people everywhere. And we try to be the same thing in the foreign fields as we are here. While Brother Hollis is coming to pray, when you don't have anybody to think on or to pray for, think about me and my wife and pray for us and my little family. Pray for my children. I appreciate your prayers. Pray for my family. I'm praying for you. And you pray for me. And if there's anything that Brother Pike can do to help you, at any time, doesn't matter what it is, I'll be more than glad to do it. I'd be delighted to do it. You're in my heart, and I don't want to take you out of my heart. I love you.